Okay, we are clear. Ready to go live in 5, 4, cue the talent, 3. Hey, I said cue the talent. 2, and 1. Attention hobbyists, sports fans, and collectors nationwide and abroad. It's time to get hype. All a part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
Is going down, everybody. It's time for Mojo Break the Hype, episode number 130. We got a fiery episode. We're gonna be talking about Gary V, who's been all over Twitter regarding cards. People are be a lot of WBs out there talking about Gary V. We're gonna talk about the 2020 Transcendent party that we attended over the weekend. So we got a fun episode. Thanks for tuning in. You can catch us on all the podcasting networks, whether you listen on your iPhone, whether you have an Overcast app, Stitcher, all those Pocket Cast, it's all available there. And you can follow us at MojoBreak_com on Instagram, Twitter, and like us on Facebook as well. Fellas, what's going down?
What up?
What's up?
If you actually like us on Facebook, we can do real time, and we could have the ticker go off. It's right behind us. Right now we're at 8,400.
Yeah, that's
exactly. Let's get to 8,401.
If you get it to 8,410, Dan will send some autographs of himself out to you guys. Some 8x10s.
Oh, 8x10s, huh?
Yeah, yeah. The one that you were going to submit for Playgirl that you didn't submit. So
it's not in publication anymore, Doug.
Yeah, well, that's probably why you weren't able to submit it.
No. I mean, you, the thing is when you come in.
You found that
when
out.
You come in with a rip, you got to do your research.
I'm sure there's still an underground.
No, there version. Isn't.
No?
Oh, man. You got to come in. You got to come in hard with that rip, and you got to do your research.
How was that not a successful publication?
It wasn't. It wasn't. Because
you know women are just reading it for the articles. Anyways, well, some of our big hits over the weekend, the last week, we've had some bangers, guys. Some of the images from the most recent breaks, which you got to get into at mojobreak.com. Everything's scheduled out, guaranteed to fill. We're busting the hottest wax that's out there. So we pulled out of the first off the line yesterday, impeccable. We pulled a Zion purple metal auto, numbered to, I think, 35. We also hit King James, which if you haven't followed King James's stock, it's crazy right now. We hit a number to 15, King James fine silver card. Got a few more slides. Tom Brady, 6 out of 7 out of Panini 1 with some nice patches. C-Rad, how was the celebration on that one?
We're back to Tom Brady Sundays, baby.
Yeah, TB12, baby. Yeah.
Future Niner.
I mean, that's this design actually is one of my favorite, and one this year, the quad.
Yeah. Four windows. Mm-hmm. Did you remember if that was game worn or not? Probably not, right?
I don't remember looking at the back, but I'm gonna say maybe it is because it's such so low numbered anyway. So it might be.
Yeah, yeah, what's actually. Up, dude? Number to 7. It's kind of a weird number, huh?
It is. It is. I think they have a few different Tom Brady autos in there. There seems like there's a in one has a like at least 20 or 30 different Tom Brady autos, which is pretty cool. It's hard to hit TB12, you know, greatest of all time. So, and then in the next one, we pulled a King James. How was that? I mean, you were pulling golf polos and hockey yeah. and hockey jerseys. And then did you think that this was maybe going to be like Anthony Davis when you first pulled it?
I knew that, you know, like obviously you know that there's LeBron and Jordan in these sets. So I wasn't expecting a LeBron in the Lakers uni. If anything, I was expecting more like, you know, they probably still have some Cavaliers autos of him or maybe even Heat jerseys, but
right.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome to see when I put it back. I saw the 2, you know, and then the 3 in the Lakers colors. I already knew. For a quick second, I might have thought it might have been Kobe, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you got the 2,
yeah,
right?
But Kobe's was Panini exclusive, right?
Yeah. Well, and one of the things, this is out of the Upper Deck Threads jersey, signed jersey product. So there's it's a whole variety of stuff. It's, you got football, you got hockey, you got basketball, you've got golf, you've got tennis. So it's a variety of jerseys, and they're all authentic, which is nice, because there's a lot of jersey companies out there that are repacking jerseys and they're not authentic. These are fully authentic jerseys. The price tag's a little high, but you can get stuff like this, you know, which actually we thought yesterday we hit a LeBron Cavaliers, but it turned out to be a Kevin Love jersey. So
no.
Yeah, same. I mean, which isn't bad, right?
Nah, but, nah, just as good.
Just as good. Yeah, just as good. So I was like, oh, man.
Kevin Love's got a championship under his belt.
He does. He does.
He is a champion.
He is a champion.
And then Dan on Monday reclaimed the Zion Whisper, you know.
And what I did is I rolled right into Wednesday. Took Monday, went right into Wednesday. Zion, I think I'm doing it again Friday.
What did you call yourself? Fire Fingers today?
Fire Fingers.
I was going to start a breaking company called firefingers.com. Fire hand's been taken.
But fire fingers. I think also like no firebox or no fire pools.
No fire fingers.
No fire. But yeah, I think I'm gonna guarantee a Zion auto on Friday.
Ooh.
From you.
Yeah.
We're not doing any basketball on Friday. How's it gonna happen?
I'll do some personal boxes.
Wait, why are you guys not doing any basketball on Friday?
I was just messing with him.
Oh.
Well, once he said that.
Yeah, I think the half case that of Select, you guys might have it, maybe.
Yeah, no, and good optic. Chance. And optic.
No, yeah, that's just what I do. Just what I'm doing.
Maybe you could do fire fingers and you could just break with hot Cheeto dust all over your fingers.
It's not the worst idea I've heard.
That'd be awesome.
Not the worst idea.
And then Danny
Maybe I can wear like fireproof gloves
and then light them on
and
fire.
Just light them on fire.
Ooh, that's a thought.
And then try to I mean,
break the car.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Or what you can do is you can take the hot chip challenge, not eat it, but like just like rub it against your fingers, and then just like lick your fingers.
Oh, and just rub it into my eyeballs, and then try to break.
That'd be blind breaks.
Then try to.
And then C-Rad hit this Danny Dimes. Man, that's a well. You know, usually Panini doesn't place the patch that well. That was well placed in that little thing. If you're not familiar, the 100th year shields look like that on the jerseys. So they cut that out. Obviously, it was rookie premier worn and had Daniel Jones sign on card. And that's might be one of the nicest looking football cards I've ever seen, the way that they placed that 100 patch. What do you think? Keep it 100.
It kind of looks like it's manufactured.
It does.
It because you're so accustomed to seeing the traditional NFL shield. I know they went to this year, but it's like a smaller shield. Mm-hmm. I got that 100 silhouette in the background. It is very cool, but it looks like it's manufactured.
In the grand scheme of things, these are actually going to be pretty rare.
Yeah, because it's the one year. Right?
Yeah, so, they're only going to do this for 1 year.
I mean, they may
do 101 next year.
I hope not.
But they may actually acquire some game-used vet jerseys that you may see some pop up over the years. Maybe, right?
Yes.
But it's going to be super, like you said, it's going to be super rare. But it's pretty cool. 100 years of NFL, and you got this rookie class, right? So if you're Danny Dimes or Kyler Murray, I mean, this is going to be a rare card. I mean, we'll probably see some in NT. Some of the ones that I've seen, the patches are like not fully on there.
Yeah, I've wondered all year long how they were going to get this particular patch onto cards. Like for this card, it makes sense how they did it, right? The design is beautiful, but how are they going to get that in an NTRPA window?
They won't. It'll probably be three quarters of it, right? So you won't see the football probably on the top. You won't see the one. It'll like zeros. Yeah. Unless they made a design around it. I mean, that's a challenge, right? I mean, that's a challenge to make that work. But
I've been wondering that all year.
Yeah. Well, only Panini One might have the full patch, so that might even make the Panini One even more rare.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It is called Panini One.
Exactly. So it's a one. Only one like it. So I wanted to talk about Gary V, guys. I mean, there's been a lot of rumblings. Gary V's active again. Obviously, this hobby is exploding. And there's a lot of people that are, I don't know if jealousy is the right word. I don't know if because he's so popular, people want to hate him. I just don't get the hatred. I don't necessarily like him. I don't necessarily hate him. I followed him when he was doing a lot of more motivational stuff. He was when he started the wine.com. So I was kind of following him before, you know, any of the sports card stuff. But he was trading and flipping cards when he was like in his teens. So it's one of his passions. You know, he's got a collection. He goes on there. He talks about it. He's very passionate about things. If anybody follows his text message link line, he answers questions, he talks to people as much as he can. He's a very busy guy, and he's very, very content oriented. I actually talked to one of his VPs of marketing at the TOPS conference, and she was just telling me that, you know, how all the stuff that they do and how all the things that he's into and all the companies that they advertise with. But a lot of card collectors are just straight hating on the man. There's all kinds of things, and we'll go into it. One thing I wanted to point out, and why I think this is particularly good for the hobby, is if you look at his followers, he's got 2 million followers, right? 2.1 million followers. If you add up Upper Deck, Panini, and Topps' followers, you get about 300,000. So all the major card companies only have 300,000 followers. I mean, this is Twitter. It may change on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. But he's got three times the amount of followers of all the car companies combined. So he's bringing in new people. So if you need to sell your card, somebody might be buying your card at a premium because it was Gary Vee that brought him in. So that's why I don't think that this is a problem. Any more eyes we can get on this hobby, the better, right? So, you know, that's why these cards are going for so crazy, because people are realizing that, you know, and I don't want to say it's a better investment than stocks, but you can look at numbers and you can see it for yourself. But there's this whole group of people, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on it before we get into some of the tweets, meaning Dan and C-Rad, is why are there people out there, why do hobbyists, for one, hate money, and for two, why do they hate people that are popular? What is it?
Okay. So why do people hate, well, I don't. A lot of people, when you get into a hobby industry, they feel like it's not okay to make money. Collecting cards should be a hobby. It's a lot of people with the mentality that it should stay a hobby and it shouldn't be about money. Once you get an influx of money in, it ruins the hobby. So nobody should be able to make money. Is not the way I feel, but I'm saying there is a pocket.
But wait, you're a blowhard. You're supposed to take the opposite opinion of me, no, right? You don't want to take that side today? I'm kidding.
Just trying to talk over here, bro. Where's my Nightbot? Is it in the chat?
I think the Nightbot's, 2019.
My boy right there. My favorite employee. No. Sorry, guys. You guys are, Nightbot. Guys, he's doing his work. But, yeah, I mean, you have a point with the 2 million followers. How many of those people are following him for something completely different,
yeah, right,
and unrelated to sports cards or trading cards? And even it doesn't interest them. So no matter how much he talks about it, they're going to be like, I don't really care. I follow you for other reasons. So to say that he is hitting 2 million people and you're going to have a conversion rate of, I mean, even 10 to 15% of his followers, right, that are going to look at it. I don't think that is really changing. I also don't think that he is buying and selling enough in the marketplace to change the market value of certain cards. I mean, he may go out and buy 50, 60, 70, 80, even maybe 100 Giannis rookies and have them graded PSA 10. But that is a small percentage,
right,
of what is in the market. He isn't manipulating the market. He doesn't have enough inventory to manipulate the market.
Can we say, maybe this question is for C-Rad, can we say that Gary V is the Kylie Jenner of the sports card industry?
In what way would that be?
He's the biggest influencer in our sports card.
Actually, you know, no. Okay, so you've been in the game for 10 years, right? Making rap tunes. But has he influenced you? Has Gary V single-handedly on a purchase or a player or anything that you've done in the industry, has he influenced you to take a different route that you weren't going to do before?
Yes.
Are you saying that just to make for good conversation?
No, I actually,
are you going to have facts behind it?
He tweeted out that he thought these were cool and maybe will eventually go up. It was a Panini Shaq sticker, PSA 8. And I bought one for like $8 because I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. It's Panini, like before Panini made cards.
Okay.
And I had just been scrolling through his feed, or I was scrolling through my feed, and he came up, and I saw that. I went on eBay, and I bought one. So, yes.
And,
but I made one purchase for $8.
Okay. And how'd it work out?
I still have it. I don't know what it's worth. I haven't looked at it.
Do you think it's worth more than $8?
I don't know. I have no idea.
So it didn't really work out.
Who knows? It could be.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. But
probably not.
It was $8. I say, hey, I mean, I myself personally buy a lot of stuff off of social media. I buy Instagram to get me new jeans, new shoes, whatever. I bought a Warriors E40 Mitchell and Ness collaboration tee today that I saw on Facebook as I was going through my feed. Bought that today. So I'm heavily, I am a guy that is influenced by social media for buying.
They love you.
They love me. I am the poster child.
They love you.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that he hasn't brought people in, but if you go to, I don't know if it's in the next slide. So this just shows you Steve Aiello, who is in the band 30 Seconds to Mars, is collecting cards because of Gary Vee. So
not you have to have an interest in it. He just isn't doing it because Gary Vee told him to do it.
So he says he got back into trading cards.
Okay.
Because he saw a lot of Gary Vee.
Okay.
Posts.
That's different than like Gary Vee absolutely got me into this. Like I wasn't going to do it if it wasn't for him. And now he's doing it. I'm doing it. No, people have to have some type of interest going into it.
Well, but you're. This guy's story, I mean, he's probably close to the same age.
Sorry, I shouldn't be disagreeing with you. You're right. You're right. Whatever you're saying, you got it.
But what I'm saying is this guy may have collected when he was a kid. I mean, how many Americans can you walk up to who've never bought a baseball card in their life? You know what I'm saying? If you're a 40-year-old adult.
Oh, wait. I mean, there's probably a lot of teens.
Yes, I'm saying. But our demographic, which
what about the kids?
The kids probably, yeah, there's probably maybe 40% have bought it. 20 to 40%.
Oh, try 4%.
But they know, like, Pokemon probably, or they know some type of trading card. Maybe not a sports card.
Actually,
they know some type of trading card.
Probably the 15 to, like, maybe 22 demographic, absolutely probably know Pokemon. Maybe even 25.
Right.
I don't know if there's, like, kids who are under 12 years old who know of Pokemon cards. They probably know of Pokemon, probably more of like the Pokemon Go app.
Right.
Than they do actually know that there's Pokemon trading cards in a game that is associated with the cards.
Yeah. So people know about trading cards. So what he's doing is he has 2 million followers. His tweets are getting retweeted by people that follow either Steve Aiello or maybe Steve Aiello's following Gary Vee anyway. And he starts seeing that Gary Vee's got a Luka for $300 or whatever, or an Acuna for this price. It's piquing people's interest. What is these cards? I'm going on eBay. It's all accessible through your phone. So, and if there wasn't Gary Vee, there'd probably be somebody else. But Gary Vee's taken the role of probably the biggest social media influencer of the current generation of sports cards. Is there anybody else that's a bigger influencer in the sports card industry? In trading cards? In sports cards right now?
Probably not.
So, yeah. So you're going to obviously have a lot of haters, a lot of people that love them.
It's easy. It's easy to dislike somebody who has 2.1 million followers.
So that's it. The more followers you have, the more negative comments you're going to have.
Yeah.
That's pretty basic,
right? Just based on the amount of people you're going to reach. Like, believe me, if we had 2 million people who are listening to this podcast, I'd probably get a lot more than one or two emails saying how much they hate my face every week.
That'd be worse than blowhards, right? See, Rat, I mean, when did you follow Gary Vee before sports cards, or did you kind of start seeing what he was doing recently?
I think I've told this story a few times, but yeah, I was following him way before he even brought up sports cards. You know, his entrepreneur videos, like, you know, motivational speaking videos, like they you know, because I look up a lot of those videos on YouTube. So, you know, he's popped up. He's been on my radar for a long time now, because I remember listening to him being like, you know, like, what is your excuse to not make money? Like, you can literally go out to the flea market and go buy anything. You could buy a magazine or whatever, and you could flip that on eBay. So I've been following him a long time before the sports cards. And also he was super close to the, you know, the, one of my favorite rappers that passed away a couple years or last year, Nipsey Hussle. So, yeah, follow him before Sports Cars for sure.
Gotcha.
What makes him so relatable?
Who? Gary V. It's because he,
he's a little edgy. He's very excitable. You know, when I used to take sales training courses, there was a thing called C Factor, which is smile, excitement, and eye contact. And that, I mean, obviously through a video, you're making eye contact in a way. But I think he's obviously got that excitement and that smile. And he's, you know, that kind of transfers. It's like a mirror image. It transfers to people, the people that like him, obviously. And then there's also a negative effect of people that don't like him. They think he's fake or whatnot. Chris actually has a really good point, and I can relate this back to you because we're into bands. He says, I think a lot of longtime collectors feel like hipsters are with indie bands. But then when they go mainstream, they, you know, people kind of say like they sold out or what, mm-hmm. like or whatnot, right? So maybe people that followed Gary V before he, like, you know, got 2 million followers were big fans of him, but now that he's, you know, on demand for content and he's, you know, putting all these different things out, maybe it's like, oh, he's sold out now. He's talking about sports cards. Could you see a correlation? And why do people hate bands that sell out? They want them to just play the hundred room bar.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, like any professional musician, you're trying to do it for a living. You're probably, the end goal is probably quote unquote trying to sell out.
Yeah, to make a living off of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're
a good living off of it.
Staying underground forever isn't going to keep the lights on, and you know,
put food, true to yourself,
put
right?
Food on the table.
Put food on your family.
Put food on your family.
You know what? You know, like, what's interesting to me is that with the Gary Vee thing, I thought it was so cool when he started talking about sports cards because I was like, wow, here's this guy that I've been following for financial advice and just motivational things, you know, like that inspire me to become, you know, more of a hustler. Like, I was like, damn, he's getting into sports cards. And he said he was already been into sports cards when he was young, just like me. So I thought it was, like, very cool that he started getting into the hobby. And, you know, I've been back in the hobby for the last 7 years now, so.
Oh, okay. So I kind of misunderstood Chris. He's saying Gary is the mainstream fan and the collectors are the hipsters. You know, like the fans that maybe Metallica got big and they're like, I'm a Death Angel fan, right? Or I'm a, you know, one of those type
said
of helmet.
No, said nobody ever.
Right. But
said
no, nobody,
so nobody ever if you're not from the Bay Area.
Right. Busta says, I think the problem is that he acts like some kind of investment tool when a lot of people just collect.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the people who just collect and are not trying to flip cards and just, you know, want to collect their team's rookies and their team sets every year out of like flagship, it's kind of alienating those collectors, which.
But how are they being alienated?
Because they're not part of the cool kids group, like flipping Lucas and flipping Giannis's.
But if you're buying team sets from Series 1, it shouldn't matter that Luka Doncic
and,
price
and
is
if
up
you're,
there.
Yeah, but if you're a Mavericks collector and you want to collect your rookies every year, you're looking at it from the outside looking in. You're like, now I can't afford this card because somebody's been talking about it the whole time. And now even if I wanted a base rookie of Luka, I got to pay like $500-$700 for it. So you're alienating that collector who may have been around for 20-30 years.
But if we didn't have this, but the hobby wouldn't be where it's at if cards didn't sell for money. If they sold for just junk wax era prices, we wouldn't be where we're at with value. And I know it's crossing the border. We sell things, so we're looking at it monetarily. We buy things on eBay. We don't necessarily sell cards on eBay, so I don't really know that aspect of the flipping. We're mainly buying cards on eBay to put in a buyback or to hold.
How dare you?
How dare you do a lazy buyback?
How dare you do a lazy buyback?
I just, you know, got to make sure they're moist. But anyways,
I mean,
I'll comment on that video one time.
Granted, go ahead, do your thing.
Do my thing. What were you going to say? No,
because I was going to say, like, getting to buybacks and, like, buying for buybacks, it takes us 6 to 8 months at times to put together a buyback.
Yeah, it's a lot
of work. I mean, we actually have two buybacks we've been working on for almost a year, and it takes a lot of time. I'd hire somebody to come in if they just want to be a buyer, and that's all they do. And they put together buyback products.
That may be a job.
That's a 40-hour a week job.
Yeah, maybe that may be a job.
Just to give you a heads up, but yeah, man, it ain't a lazy game by any means.
No, it's a lot of work. I mean, But anyways, we'll approach that topic at some other time. I just heard a video today, and I know you guys are, what in the hell is he talking about? I just don't have any info on a slide on that one. But anyways, so I want to get in some of the tweets that Gary has tweeted out. And we've got a nice little segment coming up. We actually have some investment advice for you guys coming up. So stay tuned. It's what we call a little cliffhanger, right? So stay tuned for that. But Gary V is buying Luka Optic PSA 10s, $350 a pop, which, holy crap, that's a base card. I mean, that's insane to me.
Yeah, and getting back to my, that's my point exactly. I'm a Mavericks fan, and I want a Luka rookie out of Donruss Optic. I should be able to buy that raw for like $9. It's $350. And blame, and it's not Gary V's fault, but the only person that I can attach that to is Gary V.
Because he has 2 million followers.
Because he has 2 million followers.
So you dissected in that regard.
And I hate this phrase, low-hanging fruit would be to blame him for it, even though it's not his fault. Because he doesn't – it is what it is, and it's the card's worth what it's worth. It's worth what people are willing to pay for it. But I think that is where you're having that collector being alienated.
Let me ask you this question. You guys,
ask
and you
away,
guys,
Doug.
You guys in the chat as well. Do you think there is collectors out there that never look at any price of any of their cards on either eBay or Beckett? You think there's people that just put them in books,
yeah,
and that's all there is?
Absolutely.
You think there is?
Yep,
What's the percentage of that?
Probably more than you would think, 10 to 15%.
But those people are probably
10 to 15% who have don't care about market value, don't worry about looking at it. They want the cards and they want the players that they're going to collect. And it goes into either, like you said, a binder or a shoebox, or it gets sent to PSA or BGS, and then never look. The market value is irrelevant.
Okay. And then why would you send it to BGS if you don't care?
Because people like the way they like.
So you're saying
they like everything. They like everything to their whole collection. You know this to be uniformed. If they have a bunch of rookies that are PSA'd or BGS, they want all of them like that. It looks better to display that way. It looks better to store that way.
So you're saying if you're trying to collect a base set and you're buying, like say you bought Optic when it was $120 or whatever, $150 when 2018 Optic came out, and you're telling me that none of those people, modern day card openers, never sold one single card that they've ever hit. So they hit a super like a gold vinyl 101 Luka. They're going to be like, cool, I just collect. So yeah. I'm not going to sell this.
Yeah.
I think the percentage of that is more like 2%.
I think it's about 10 to 15%.
C-Rat, what do you think? What do you think of the percentage of people that buy cards and never sell them?
I'm gonna go with Dan. I think 10%.
Yeah, what's up?
The only reason I say that is because me personally, like, you know, like, you know, I collect guys, right? Every year, I pick certain guys that I want to collect. I really don't look at what the cards are going for after I buy them. I know it's kind of weird. Until like maybe like a year later, does that count? Like if I look at it like a year later, and just if I'm curious, but I don't keep up with the market prices of the cards that I buy. So that's why I say 10%, because I was like, there's got to be people even more hardcore collector than me, right? That where they did buy cards and they really just keep it just to have it in their collection.
Okay. I did this for a while. I was buying every Stanford player. Doesn't matter what basketball, football, baseball, didn't matter. I was like, anything I would find that would be an autograph, I was buying it. Goes into a box. I never look at it. I have no intention of ever selling it.
But that's fine, and I believe you there. But you also sold a blue Acuna for $5,100 with me, so you did sell a card, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you hit. I'm saying the people that never sell a single card.
That wasn't my card.
Well, it was both of our cards.
Yeah, I'm never gonna flip.
What I'm saying. Is there anybody in the chat that has never sold a card ever?
No.
Well, wait,
no.
Saying me, I. Never what do I do for a? What do I do for a living?
Well, yeah,
that's
yeah,
like
no,
not
I,
even
I,
fair.
I'm using it as an example, obviously, because I don't think there's anything wrong with selling cards, but I'm using it as an example, and I'd like to see if there's anybody in the chat that has never sold a card in their life.
No,
because I mean, you could be opening the box to keep everything, but you hit that one of one, or you hit that card that you look, and you go on eBay and you see that it's $1,000 card, and you're like, I could use $1,000.
I think that's two different things. Saying that like you collect just to collect, and you're not worried about the value. Or saying that
you never
you've been
sell
a collector
a
and you've never sold a card.
But if you sell a card, then you're worried about value. You have to be.
Worried or like, or
I,
just
I mean you if, have if to have you, seen the value
if you
of the
have
card.
A specific team or a specific like college or something that you collect, you're going to collect that and you're not going to sell it. You don't care if it goes up or goes down. It does not matter because that is in your collection. Now, say you open up an optic box and you pull a Luka auto and you're not a Luka not one of your PC items, then yeah, you could sell it. But that doesn't mean that you're looking at the value of your PC items every week thinking that, hey, if it goes up to this, I'm going to sell it. There's some people who, when it goes into their PC, their personal collection, it never leaves.
I don't know. I personally think that anybody that says that flippers are ruining the hobby and they've sold one card in their lifetime, they're hypocritical. They're hypocritical. If you sold a card in your life, that's you're being a hypocrite, in my opinion. That's it. And bold. I think the two can exist. I think the two can exist, and that's fine. But don't go on and crap on people on Twitter for trying to flip retail boxes or trying to flip an Acuna. Don't go on there and crap on them if you've sold a card before. You know, it's just that's where it kills me. It's like some people like certain type of food. Some people don't like that food. It's just everybody has different. You know what I mean? Everybody has different tastes, and everybody conducts their business, and everybody has different levels of money. There may be a guy that's running a billion-dollar corporation, and he doesn't ever sell anything because he's got a lot of money. There could be somebody that fell on hard times, and they need to sell the car.
You say a gabillion?
A gabillion. So that was one of his tweets, and then there's been some other follow-ups, and this is kind of. Wrestling is competitive, so he's very active on tweeting out stuff. Like I said, this is not me giving an ode to Gary Vee. This is mainly me just analyzing how people are acting in this market, like how it's wrong for somebody to sell something or stuff like that. And Gary Vee is the scapegoat right now, and that's why we're kind of using this topic because that's where it's all centered around. But this is the guy that I responded to, which is actually ironic that his name is Shoe King 23 because Gary Vee said shoe flippers were going to get into our hobby. So it's very ironic this guy's name is Shoe King. He said, I think Gary Vee is a POS, which you guys know what that means. It's not point of sale system, who has a cult-like following, which he used to make money off of by taking advantage of them. That's just my opinion. Don't hate me. And this was in response to Cody Bellinger cards going up.
Yeah,
so
no
I responded to him by saying, you can see my response here. I said, I don't think Gary has that much influence. Baseball always has a bump this time of year. At least 40 to 50 guys that went up from last month till now. Spring rolls around, and we get instant increase. These guys are doing interviews. These guys are playing. They're hitting the ball. Cody Bellinger won the MVP. Cody Bellinger won the MVP. So he replied to me. He says, I do. Look what he did with belly cards. His rookie card was the most undervalued card until his tweet. So it's
now the key right there. You should have responded and just said, undervalued, and then that's it,
right?
Because he basically he answered his own question that he was talking about. The card was the reason why it went up is because the Cody Bellinger cards were super undervalued,
right?
There was so much room to grow into Cody Bellinger cards because he just got done winning MVP and he was undervalued.
So what
find me a guy where the cards where Gary Vee influences cards that are already at its peak value.
Right.
Find me that.
Well, I mean, he's basically taking knowledge. It's like one of those shows where they buy rundown houses. You know what I mean? I mean, I know these cards aren't rundown, but I'm saying guys buy like $60,000 rundown houses and then they renovate it and it sells for $150,000.
Are you saying that Belly is like a fixer-upper?
Well, what I'm saying,
I think he's in his prime.
I think he is. No, but what I'm saying is we had Zion, we had football going on. Baseball was, people don't really buy baseball in December. People don't really buy baseball in November.
Actually, a great time to buy baseball, November through January.
Right.
So if you try to buy in February, you're actually buying in one of the most expensive times.
And that's what happened.
February and March is the worst time to buy baseball cards.
Yes. So basically,
this guy's new.
Right. So basically, it happens every time. Baseball's around the corner. Who's going to win? Dodgers are favored to win. Dodgers are favored to win the National League. Who do they have? Best player's Bellinger. I should look at his cards. Oh, I could afford an $80 Cody Bellinger tops. All right, I'm going to buy it. It's simple. It's not like he's going after Byron Buxton. It's not like he's saying, buy Byron Buxton and then they went up. That'd be impressive. I would say, man, that's super impressive that he had that much influence. he's just kind of telling people what people are already saying. So that's why it's like, stop hating on the man.
I would like to see that, like a Dansby Swanson, who first overall pick he's been injury prone. He hasn't really turned it on in the major league level. He's in the majors right now. You could probably get a Dansby Swanson first Bowman for probably $50.
Right.
I'd like to see if Gary Vee can turn that market around. A guy who's hitting 230, 240 and can barely stay healthy and make his card start going up by 5 to 6 times. Then I'd be like, wow, I'm like, you guys got a point.
Exactly. Like if he pumps up something that's out of nowhere, then be like, okay, yeah, his influence is huge. Then I'll start buying into this fact. Other than this is a trend that we see every year of spring training baseball. Like you'll see with other sports too. You'll see football go up when football starts again. You'll probably see Kyler's cards go way up.
I think come
preseason.
And I've been saying, and I said this before before January. I've been saying it for a while. I think Shohei Ohtani is undervalued. I think he was undervalued at the end of last year because of his injuries. And if you bought Ohtani in November, December, or January, I think by the All-Star break, you're going to be able to flip that and have substantial gains.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But
there's always a time for that stuff.
That has nothing to do with me speculating. It has anything to do with me. I didn't do anything in the market. It was just a specific time to buy.
Yeah, you can find those pockets. And when you're in this hobby, that's the thing, is we're getting such an influx of new people that don't understand how the market goes up and down based on seasons. I mean, we got seasons. Now, these baseball players were in the Bahamas during November, December. You know what I mean? There wasn't any video of Cody Bellinger hitting a ball. Or specifically, I think what helped him too was the video that Cody Bellinger put out about the Astros. I think that got a lot of respect from the league. It got a lot of respect from collectors. And I think you started seeing it going up. And it was like he was going into spring training anyway. So, but anyways, this is actually pretty funny. This kind of goes with my hypocritical statement. So this is from Mike. Mike pointed this out, but I'd already seen it going on. The Mike Summer on Twitter. Some of Gary B's biggest critics claiming a lack of ethics and decrying his profit motives are at the same time pumping their own brakes prior to their own PSA submission. It's too much. This hobby is a never-ending source of entertainment. So you see right here, this next tweet. Check this out. So you've got a guy that's saying, no, we hate on him because his money-making tactics affect our card's worth. He directly impacts all of our wallets. So he's saying Gary Vee in general. I've been watching Gary make money for the better part of 10 years, never had a problem until it affected me. You scroll up on this guy's timeline, and look what he says. He's pimping out his auctions for Acuna, Vlad, and Soto, and Zion, and Ja. You know what I'm saying? So it's like Gary Vee's already talking about Acuna. He's already talking about Soto. So that is highly hypocritical. Just because he doesn't have 2 million followers, it's okay? I mean, we got to take a step back, man. Stop hating on people. You know what I mean? We got to stop hating on them.
That's what it is. It's people that are jealous that he's making more money.
Haters be hating.
Haters be hating, you know?
Haters be hating.
I mean, then you had this one, too, which I was like, man, now we're starting to go into conspiracy theories. Get 4 million followers, buy stuff, hype it to artificially inflate its value, pocket the money, let your followers lose the $60 you pocketed on each of the items that don't continue to carry on after the hype. Thanks for the promotion. Sell the hoodies we couldn't buy then for $100. Pyramid scheme life, hashtag. So this specific tweet motivated me. And you can kind of see from the image, on the next image, guys. So we're going to try this. We're going to try this. We've heavily invested in one gentleman. And that gentleman's,
there he is.
Name is Sean
Look
Mania.
At that guy. Look at that guy.
He's got the face an NFL player, quarterback.
He does. He does.
I mean, look at that smile.
Pro hair, pro attitude, pro arm, pro arm. And you got him on that's his old team.
It doesn't matter, but that team is defunct. So you have a St. Louis Rams jersey, which makes him even more valuable.
That's even better.
That's even better. So we put these up, guys, at a low price of $200,000. And, you know, let me take my Gary Vee photo right here, you know, like he has on Twitter here. And there's many more where that came from right there. You know what I mean? Take that snapshot of my face smiling.
Oh, yeah. Even C-Rad's got one.
It's $200,000 each right there, guys. So I would invest at any level of Sean Mannion. You know what I'm saying? If you see some of our listings, invest now. Mention on the Hype podcast. Because we're trying to be social media influencers, guys. We're trying to move the market on Sean Mannion. We're trying to move the market. You see on this listing, I got really creative.
Actually,
on the,
we're not trying to move the market. We're just trying to give people
investment
the opportunity
advice.
To get in at the ground level at $200,000.
As you can see,
ground level.
That's where you want to get in at it. Sean Mannion, mentioned on the Hype Podcast. More Mannions to come. Go to the next one. Mentioned on the Hype Pass, Hype Podcast, legendary backup. Right? And these are all individual. These are all unique. There's 10 of them up there right now, guys.
Ground floor.
Get your best offer in. Get your best offer. What we're going to do is we're going to help all the other people that have Mannions. They're going to start selling. We're going to move the market.
He has man in his name.
Yes. Oregon State, great. He has man in his name. I mean, is there any other players out there, maybe besides Terrence Mann, that has man in his name?
Manning?
You weren't
supposed
to say
that's
that.
That's a good one, though. He's a man amongst men.
I mean, Oregon State, great. He passed for 13,600 yards, 83 touchdowns. He had a quarterback rating of 135.
I think that 83 touchdowns good. Was in like a 1 week.
It was in 1 week.
It was 1 week.
I mean, it's just phenomenal. And these are all 9.5s, guys. These are gems. I mean, the pop, you know, who even knows? I mean, make me an offer. Only serious offers are welcomed because Sean Mannion is the next big thing. We're basically snake oil salesmen right here. We're like,
I don't know what
we're telling
about.
You guys that Sean Mannion. And we're going to influence the market. We're going to see how this works. Because apparently that's what Gary Vee's doing. He's just taking cards, he's hyping them up, and they're selling for no reason. See, look, even C-Rad's got one. And like we have a whole showcase.
No, we have two.
Oh, we don't want to tell him.
Wait. You're right. This is it. That's all we got.
Just 10.
And granted, a lot of people don't like the Beckett autograph grade of 8. It's consistent.
It's pop. It's pop one.
It's pop. It is pop
one. This one has a 9.
That one has a 9?
I might have to raise the price on that one.
How'd that one get a 9?
I mean, look how beautiful that card is.
9 auto.
How did it get a 9?
I mean, you could have this as a centerpiece of your collection. You could have people coming over for wine, and you could have these on your table, and they'd be like, what the heck? You know how many conversations we've had right here about Sean Mannion?
As Sean Mannion coasters.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know what? He's going to come out, and he's just a couple quarterback injuries away from, you know, he's the third starter, I think, now. He's only a couple injuries away from getting
that?
The job.
How about that?
Oh, you put it on the necklace?
I can bling it out. I can put a little chain around it, wear it out to the club.
Bye now.
What's up, ladies?
Best now.
You know what I mean? Wait, what's up? You want to check out my Sean Mannion collection? You want to check out my rug? You want to check out my Sean Mannion collection? That's what I'm saying. So we're doing our best to move the market on Sean Mannion because apparently that's what social media influencers do is they just speak the word and people just we're trying to get that supreme gun over here, dude. We're trying to get that supreme gun with the money from Sean Mannion. That's what we're trying to do.
We need $500 for the supreme gun.
We need 150 supreme guns.
Hey man, if we can get a supreme gun and I can actually put a slabbed Mannion in it, and you're just shooting
hybrid,
off, just shooting off six figures over here.
Man, I mean, you guys can come in. We'll allow you guys to take photos of the Mannion collection as well, just like you know the Diamondbacks owner has his collection. We have our collection here, so I mean, we may one of the listings even Dan will include an autograph too if you hit that buy it now. So, but anyways, we'll move on. So that was our little bit just to kind of play on the whole thing that there's somebody. That's influencing people to spend their money because you have to have a good product for people to spend their money. So I'm not saying Sean Mannion's not a good product.
And I don't buy their Sean Mannions because I really don't want to sell them.
Nah, Dan's very emotionally invested in the Sean Mannion collection.
Because we had a conversation. Doug was like, should I put it up at 10 grand? No one's going to buy it. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm like, there might be somebody. And I can't let one of these RPAs walk.
Right.
And this is exactly what I'm talking about. PC item. I don't care what these are worth. I don't care if they're worth $5. I don't care if they're worth $5,000.
It's priceless.
There ain't nothing going to make me move my Sean Mannion
it's
collection.
Priceless, guys. It is on eBay, though, so you can check out. Like they are legitimate. So we'll see what kind of mail we get or messages or offers. There'll probably be some funny offers on there, too. But Topps Transcendence, we were at the party on Saturday in Arizona at Chase Field. So they stepped it up. We're at Chase Field. Ken Griffey was in attendance. It was a fun event. They bring us on the field. We had cocktail hour on the field, which was nice. They had some sliders. What was your favorite food?
The empanadas.
Oh, okay. I don't think I got one of those.
Yeah, they're pretty good. You missed out.
So
what about you? What'd you like?
Probably the sliders. Sliders are pretty good. I like the sliders.
Sliders are pretty bomb.
So some of the images you're seeing, that was the table. This is the swag bag they give everybody. And they brought out Griffey, which people didn't know what to expect. We didn't know what to expect. We didn't even know if he was going to show up. We saw him doing an interview at a Seattle Mariners spring training game, and he was there. So I was like, all right, I think he's in town. He'll probably show up. So the great Clay from Topps is up there, and he does a very cool Q&A with Griffey. And Griffey couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been more talkative. No, I don't think we expected it. I don't think anybody in the room really expected it. Clay didn't expect it because you can watch that upper deck thing with Linda Cohn, which is just the most awkward interview of all time. So I think people think that's what's going to happen. Man, he was unbelievably cool. I can't even speak any words. So, you know, told stories, took photos with everybody, signed transcendent cards for everybody. I went up there and I asked him about Barry Bonds. You know, you guys know me. I was trying to raise my hand and ask the whole group about Barry Bonds, but I got to ask him about Barry Bonds, if he should get in the hall. And he said, you know, if it was up to me, if I was allowed to vote, I obviously would vote him in. But he's like, I don't think they can have players vote because there would be certain players that wouldn't vote for people. And he also said that when they were in their heyday in the 90s, it was Griffey versus Bonds is top player in the league. And he said that, you know, people thought that they were enemies because they were both competing to be the best player in the league. But they were hanging out at each other's house and, you know, doing things together, and we're very friendly. He says he still talks to Barry, so that was cool for me as a big Barry fan. But yeah,
what was that next photo?
That's you.
Is that me?
I found it. I don't think they got a photo of me.
Because that right there, I'm not gonna lie. Look at the head down, driving through the box.
Is that form?
That is damn. That's damn good form.
But you're not even close to being in the box, bro. You're out of the box. That's a legal swing.
The box doesn't even matter. Look at that. Look at that form. Look at the head down. Compact.
So they took us, and I couldn't find a photo of that here, but they took us underground. They did a whole tour of the stadium for us. They took us underground, and they had a little batting practice in the cage underground, and then they did a tour of the stadium again, brought us out, and we actually got to hit off a pitching machine, which was cool. Nobody hit a home run. I might have gotten the closest, but I couldn't find a picture of me swinging the stick, so this is some random person that was at the party. And it was very, very cool. So if you ever have an opportunity to go to one of these events, you don't necessarily have to, you know, buy the $25,000 case. You can buy the pass off of eBay. You can try to get into a break and try to get one. But they're hot. The actual event is once in a lifetime. They gave us a whole set of Jeter cards, and we're probably gonna you know, break even on that. So the stuff they give you, you can usually sell, and then the experience is free, basically.
Yeah, I do gotta say that I wish they would have gave us a heads up that we're going to be taking batting practice, because it's hard to take some hacks in dress shoes.
Yeah, it is
very
it
difficult is. And I would have liked to bring a glove, and because they were having people like shag balls and stuff like that, I think they should have gave us a heads up, let us dress down a little bit.
Yeah, it would have been a little easier with some,
because they kind of give you the whole like semi-formal business attire,
mm-hmm,
type of deal. And I mean, if you're going out in the batting cage, you should be able to, you know,
be comfortable.
Jeans and get some Jordans and
get your hip pivot going.
Yeah,
it's hard to do that in tight pants.
Difficult, man. But you know, my form is pretty solid. I was getting scouted out by one of the Diamondbacks people.
Yeah, he actually did say something to you.
Yeah, he came up and he's like, he's all, how old are you? And I'm all, probably too old.
Man, you almost got a deal.
I almost got a deal.
You almost
on the same team with Mad Bum.
Mason Saunders. And then we got to see the Diamondbacks owner collection, which the rest of the cards are posted on Instagram. Absolutely insane. Probably, I don't even know, probably $100 million in cards. He's got the Honus Wagner, the Gretzky Wagner.
Well, that one's $2 million, right?
I think it sold for $2.8 million like 10 years ago. So who even knows what it's worth now? So
altered.
It doesn't say altered on the slab, but there is rumors of it being altered by people in the industry. But it is the Gretzky Wagner, so Gretzky sold it to the Diamondback owner.
That's right.
Ken
it
from,
does say
from
it
the
says
say eight, bro.
It does say Gretzky on the slab.
It does.
It's kind of cool.
And all the cards,
oldest freaking card ever.
It, dude, it's crazy. I mean, And he also had a PSA 52 Mantle. He had a PSA 51 Bowman. It was ridiculous. But go to our Instagram. You could see that on our Instagram. See some of the cards from the Ken. And they were just out there. I mean, if I was bold, I could have, you know, and I was thinking about, I could just grabbed them and try to see how far I could have got. You know what I mean? I might have been able to, you know, run down the street a little bit. I've been working out. I might be able to run a little faster than the security guard that was back there. But eventually, obviously, I would have been tackled.
That's how you end up not able to go to the next Transcendent party.
Right.
You're probably one and done at that point. Yep. That's it.
So the set they give you is, it's 100 cards, and it's all the Derek Jeter cards that were in Transcendent, unsigned. So they're numbered to 100. Obviously, number 2 is going to be highly coveted. You get a 1-of-1 Jeter patch in each set. So I was thinking, you know, I think tickets were averaging around $4,000 to $5,000. I think they went even lower. You could take, and I've already listed them on eBay, so if you guys want to buy one of these, you can go on eBay. I have all the different years. Yes, $1 offer, baby. I have all the different cards up there. You guys can bid on those. We do combined shipping, by the way, if you're wondering. But yeah, it's pretty cool. So you put those up there. It only took me like 4 hours worth of work. You could basically almost fund your whole trip if you just bought a pass. Or if you want a pass and a break for like $500, straight cash, homie, and you got to, you know, hang out with Ken Griffey or whatever. So think about that when it comes to Transcendent next year is, you know, hey, you might be able to buy one of these passes, float your whole trip on all the swag that you're getting. You're getting 7 Transcendent packs that go for like $200. You're getting 2 additional Griffey autos. We got 4 additional Transcendent autos, and we got a hobby box in all of our bags. So it was a lot of stuff from the party that you can kind of float your whole trip on. So, but anyways, that's all we got for today's show, guys. We appreciate it. You know, go ahead and check out our Sean Mannions and on eBay. And we will see you guys soon here. We got Impeccable Case 3. Is there any teams left?
One left.
One team left for Impeccable 3. We'll come in and break that. And we'll see you guys next week on 131. Peace.